KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:05, we have cloudy skies and 56 degrees here in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high of 74. Winds out of the southeast at around 10 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. An Audubon County woman was injured during an accident Friday evening. The Iowa State Patrol reports 72-year-old Marilyn Hocamp of Exira was struck and run over by a vehicle in her driveway and was flown by Mercy Air One to Mercy Hospital in Des Moines. The accident happened around 6:30 p.m. when a 2007 Ford F-150 pickup, driven by 47-year-old Stephen Hocamp of Exira, was backing up in a gravel driveway toward a residence at 3025 300th Street near Thrush Avenue. As his mother, Marilyn, was walking toward the vehicle to meet her son, Stephen noticed his mother up by the residence and continued to back the vehicle up, but didn't realize his mother was getting closer. The rear of the vehicle knocked Mrs. Hocamp down, and the driver's side rear tires drove over both of her ankles. The State Patrol was assisted in their investigation by the Audubon County Sheriff's Department and Adair Fire and Rescue. Police in Council Bluffs are searching for a suspect who was involved in a struggle with an officer, resulting in the officer firing his service weapon. The incident began around 7 p.m. Friday. Authorities say while two Council Bluffs police officers were on the Walmart parking lot working a shoplifting call, they located a white Mazda CX-9 parked nearby that had stolen plates on it. As the officers were finishing their shoplifting incident report, a white male walked up to the Mazda and got in the driver's seat. As the officers approached the vehicle, the male subject locked the vehicle's doors and started the motor. A preliminary investigation indicates that one of the officers fired his service handgun at the driver as a struggle was taking place to get the driver out of the car. The driver's side window was broken out as the officer was reaching inside the car. The male subject put the car into gear and sped off, hitting a parked vehicle. The officer who fired his duty handgun suffered minor injuries to his arm but was treated at a local hospital and released. The driver of the white Mazda fled the scene, but the vehicle was located a short time later, abandoned in a ditch near the I-29-I-80 interchange. After an extensive search, the driver was not located. It's unknown if he has any injuries. The Iowa DCI was called in to review the actions of the officer involved in the shooting, and that officer's name will not be released, authorities say, until later next week. The Council Bluffs Police Department will continue to investigate the assault that took place on the officer and will file appropriate charges once the subject is positively identified and located. Now, if you happen to have any information with regard to that incident, contact detectives at 712-328-4728. Or you can remain anonymous by calling 712-328-STOP. That's 7867. Police in Red Oak Friday evening arrested a man wanted on a Montgomery County warrant for failure to appear on a charge of assault with intent to inflict serious injury. 33-year-old James Harlan Rosengrans III was taken into custody at around 7:20 p.m. in the 400 block of Senate Avenue in Red Oak and transported to the Montgomery County Jail. His bond was set at $5,000. A 26-year-old Red Oak woman was arrested a little after 3 a.m. today for public intoxication. According to Red Oak Police, Jade Dakota Aaron Bacon was taken into custody in the 100 block of West Coolbaugh Street and brought to the Montgomery County Jail, where her bond was set at $300. Officials with MidAmerican Energy are trying to figure out why a blade from a wind turbine broke off and landed in a rural Adair County farm field. KCCI-TV in Des Moines reports the incident happened sometime Thursday or Friday when nearby farmers discovered the 177-foot-long, 18,000-pound blade partially crumpled up in a field. Land is farmed but not owned by Adair County farmer Kurt Bean. MidAmerican Energy spokesman Jeff Greenwood told KCCI the wind turbine blade failures are a rare occurrence. Greenwood says that MidAmerican crews will work to find the cause of the wing failure, and as the two blades failures completed the company investigations, he said previously were caused by lightning, but he didn't know Friday why this particular blade failed near the hub of the turbine. An Adair County farmer told KCCI Friday that they'll ask the Iowa Utilities Board to investigate the wind turbines to make sure that they are safe. Senator Joni Ernst won't be having the roast part of her yearly campaign fundraiser due to the pandemic, but she is hosting a two-day ride for motorcyclists next month.
We are going to do a Joni's Ride across Iowa.
That's J. Ray, I should say. It's sort of a tip of the hat to RAGBRAI, the Des Moines Register's annual Great Bike Ride across Iowa. Money raised from the motorcycles registrations for the senator's event will go toward a Cedar Rapids-based derecho relief fund and the Puppy Jake Foundation, which trains service dogs for veterans. Ernst is running for re-election to a second term in the U.S. Senate this year, and according to a campaign news release, there will be a short program, and she'll speak to reporters at stops along the way. The ride starts in Sioux City October 10th and has stops in Carroll and Des Moines that same day. Riders will start out from Des Moines on October 11th and stop in Cedar Rapids before ending in Davenport. Riders will not be in a tight formation as in the previous Roast and Ride events Ernst has held, but are to make their way from city to city at their own pace. In 2016, Ernst's Roast and Ride featured then-candidate Donald Trump. In 2017, Vice President Mike Pence rode in Ernst's fundraiser on a motorcycle. Incumbent Senator Joni Ernst, a Republican from Red Oak, spoke to a crowd inside the Atlantic Community Center Friday evening. During the event, she said with regard to the current election cycle, the mood is different than in the past. The nation is facing some significant challenges and some significant changes. Ernst, who likes to ride her motorcycle, as I mentioned, compared the race between her and her opponent as a choice between two different roads. Her opponent is Democrat Teresa Greenfield.
So on the road to the right, we have freedom, prosperity, and opportunity. Okay, that's probably the road that I'm going to be choosing. But on the left, there is a very, very different path. And it is a path that my opponent is choosing to take. And that path is paved with government takeover of healthcare. It's paved with radical environmental ideas that would fundamentally change the way we do agriculture in the state of Iowa and wipe out thousands of manufacturing jobs.
Ernst said also the road her opponent is taking is filled with people who want to roll back our Second Amendment rights and those who are promoting extreme abortionist ideas. She said also Greenfield has not been seen anywhere in Iowa, whereas Ernst has visited all 99 counties on 1.5 tours.
How many of you have met my opponent? I'm sorry. I thought she was out visiting all 99 counties in Iowa. No, wait, that's me. Okay, so where is Waldo? Where is Teresa Greenfield?
Ernst said that Greenfield is hiding in the basement.
She's hiding with Biden, folks. And she is going to stay in her basement. Because she does not want people to know where she stands on the issues. If you're not out meeting with people in public, if you are not going into those counties, those rural counties, which are part of Iowa, you are not hearing differing views. You're not faced with questions that you may not want to answer. So the way to do it is completely avoid any level of human interaction. And she's doing quite well at that.
Ernst said Greenfield has not visited almost half of Iowa's counties in the 15 months she's been campaigning. Ernst said also she's willing to meet with constituents and representing them in Washington as she has over the past several months and the past year, in fact. Taking a look at the funeral announcements this morning here on KJAN, Merlin Glade, age 85, of rural Panora, died Monday at Iowa Methodist in Des Moines. Funeral services for Merlin Glade will be today at 10 a.m. at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Sherry Dickerson, age 80, of Boone and formerly of Messina, died September 12th. A celebration of life for Sherry Dickerson will be today at 11 o'clock at the Nishna Valley Funeral Home in Shenandoah. And there will be social distancing practiced, and the family encourages you to wear a mask. John Roten of Linden died Wednesday at his home. A celebration of life gathering for John Roten will be held today from 2 until 5 p.m. at the Linden Lions Community Building. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Delbert Kirchhoff, age 92, of Atlantic, died Tuesday. A private service for the immediate family of Delbert Kirchhoff will be today at Hillside Assembly Church, formerly the First Assembly of God in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. Nancy Finnell, age 72, of Linden, died September 10th at the Stewart Community Center. A visitation for Nancy Finnell will be today from 4 until 6 p.m. at the Yale Community Building. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Bonnie Hennen, age 88, of Panora, died Wednesday at the New Homestead in Guthrie Center. Services for Bonnie Hennen will be held Monday at 10:30 at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Janet L. Nelson, age 86, of Casey, died Tuesday in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Janet Nelson will be Monday at 11 a.m. at St. John's Lutheran Church in Casey. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has arrangements. J. K.P. O'Brien, age 62, of Council Bluffs and formerly of Atlantic, died Monday while visiting his brother in Fort Dodge. A service honoring the life of J. K.P. O'Brien will be held at a later date. Cremation rites have been accorded with the Gunderson Funeral Home and cremation services in Fort Dodge. And David P. Testa, age 72, of Atlantic, died Friday at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. Services for David Testa are pending at this time. Hockenberry Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.